167 Hours Beyond Sunday, a companion podcast to the sermons of Crossroads Christian Church in Gray, Tennessee, where we try to go beyond the message and talk about what life looks like in the 167 hours we're not in church a week. I'm your host. My name is Ryan Evans, and today I'm joined by our kids minister, Olivia Albrecht. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Ryan. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Thank you for meeting me here in this online setting. Our office is currently closed, so we're kind of not Zooming. We're using a thing called Squadcast. Ooh, fancy podcasting online tools. Do you mind, Olivia, if I take a second and address everyone and apologize for my absence for a little bit?
Of course. Go ahead.
First off, thanks to Ryan Hughes. For those of you who are avid listeners of the podcast, I intentionally took 1 week off to let Ryan interview Curtis, and that was because I preached, and it felt like it was going to be really weird to interview someone about a sermon that you preach.
That's fair.
Yeah. But in the week following, and then there was a couple weeks of nothing, a lot of that had to do with because my grandmother passed away, which was incredibly sudden, and it was incredibly difficult, and I'm super thankful for Ryan jumping in there and making that one last week happen, and I appreciate the staff for supporting me in whatever ways that looked like, but I just wanted to get that out there. Not that any of you super, I mean, it's fine. My family is doing really well now. There was an outpouring of support and love for us, like the church often does in moments like this, and we were super thankful. In fact, one of the people that was super generous, Olivia, brought my wife and I dinner one evening when we were back in town after that. I think I said thank you then, but in case I didn't, thank you now. Thank you so much.
No worries. It's what the church does, and it's what friends do. And I really hated to hear about the passing of your grandmother. I mean, when someone passes away, it's never an easy time, but when it's unexpected, it just makes it exponentially harder.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the one thing I'll maybe share as a wisdom from my grandmother is one thing as a kid that I am confident about is that she was always there at everything, every sporting event, every little ceremony, every middle school graduation, which basically are pointless, by the way. She was there, and she was a very supportive person in my life, and I'm super thankful for her. And I've moved away and was away the last few years. And if I have one regret, I wish I had made it back home to spend more time with family and be there the way she was. So maybe that's a good lesson for all of us to make sure that we prioritize the stuff that's important. And by the way, I was really bad at sports. So it's really kind of her to be at all the sporting events. I was never very good. But yeah. So, hey, we started a new series Sunday called Once Upon a Time. And I'd be remiss if I didn't start with this question. Olivia, what is your all-time favorite story? It can be a movie, a book, a series, or whatever. Like, what is your favorite story?
And I'll pick one.
Yeah, I'll take you off the hook. You don't have to say the Bible. I mean, I know we're on this podcast for the church, but let's not go there. What is your favorite?
Forcing me to pick one is mean. lots of options came to mind, but since you said it has to be my all-time favorite, and I can only pick one, I really loved the Harry Potter series growing up. Three or four of the books were published when I was old enough to read them. And I loved reading them as a kid and waiting in the summers for it to release. And then my brother would get the copy first because he was older. but I was a faster reader than he was. And then I remember going to midnight showings of the movies with my dad and with my brother. I don't think my sister was old enough to go with us when the last movie came out. But even over Christmas, I typically read at least one of the Harry Potter books, if not a couple of them.
They're good. That's a good to come back to at Christmas, you know, when you have a little bit of time to either read or watch the movies. And a lot of those books are like set during Christmas times and moments. So there's some connection there. Mm-hmm. So my wife and I are fans as well. And I have to ask this question. Have you been to Universal? Have you been to the Harry Potter park?
I have not yet.
you need to put it on your list as soon as COVID times are done. So get back to Universal, because that place is magical. That was seriously one of the top 10 memories of my life, walking into that park, because it is so immersive.
I mean, I am really looking forward to be able to do that one day. In my defense, just finished grad school. As soon as I finished grad school, COVID hit. So
you have bad priorities.
Time to travel.
Grad school?
Traveling is.
Grad school?
Or I feel like it's grad school. Sorry about it.
You need to start listening to the other shoulder a little bit more. You know what I mean? You know, so
get out of here.
So let's bridge the gap a little bit. This series, according to Curtis, is going to follow the story of Moses. So let's make it a little bit easier. What's your favorite part of Moses's story? Is there a favorite, you know, thing in the Old Testament, favorite part of Exodus, what is your favorite Moses story?
I really like Exodus. Moses did good and holy work. But my favorite part of his story is that he didn't do it alone and couldn't do it alone. His story never would have happened without the support and care of his sister, making sure that he made it down the Nile, and his biological mother, putting his safety first, and his adoptive mother caring for him when he was vulnerable. And it wouldn't have happened without the support and partnering with his brother. And he definitely wouldn't be the protagonist of Exodus without God working in him and through him. And if you read the book of Exodus, there are a ton of minor characters that have a huge impact in the way that Exodus plays out. And so it's natural for us to think that we're the main characters in our own stories because our perspective is the first thing that we know, but that's really not the case. And I think the story of Moses is a great reminder that it's not really about us, but we are instruments in God's greater story. And the more that we let God work in us, and the more we let God work through us, and the more that we partner with other people, the more that we get to experience an active role in God's story.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I could probably stop the podcast here. I mean, that was enough insight right there. We could probably be done, but I do want to dig a little bit deeper because I think there's some interesting nuance in Moses' story that a lot of us can connect with. For example, when Moses is called to serve God, he struggles immediately with feeling inadequate. You know, and Curtis shared that sometimes he feels the same way. If I'm honest, I often feel that way. I regularly have to struggle with that. So I'm curious, have you ever felt that way? And when you do, how do you overcome it? Or how have you learned to trust God because of it?
It's really easy to feel inadequate in a ministry position because you are doing holy work in a ministry position. And a lot of people have expectations of you and for you. And a lot of those expectations are unspoken.
Yes.
And, you know, there's a little bit of nuance that it's really easy for me to feel that I'm inadequate, or box myself into some confines because I am the youngest person on staff. And I also am a woman in ministry. And there are a lot of insecurities and feelings of inadequacy that are tagged along to that. But I've had to learn that, you know, it's not about me or anything that I'm afraid of or insecure about. And when I follow my insecurities and fears like that, is what gets us off track. But it's about serving the kingdom of God and allowing God to do work in me and through me, just like Moses. And kind of one of the things that I have to remind myself of is Emily P. Freeman has this idea of doing the next right thing, because it's really easy to be intimidated or feel unworthy if I'm looking miles and miles down the road, because then I become, you know, a drop in the ocean. And it's just overwhelming. But when I ask what's the next right thing, and I focus on on what's in front of me. I can trust God with what's at hand.
Yeah, that's a really good perspective, because I think sometimes when we look ahead and we see the mountain, or we see the pile of, you know, stuff that we have that has to get done, or the work that seems so intimidating, it's that can be very paralyzing. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. Just do the next right thing. Just do something. Just do mm-hmm. something. And, you know, and we talked about this in student ministry once, and it really stuck with me, because I, you know, even outside of ministry, I think a lot of us as Christians see a lot of the injustice in the world. We see the problems, we see the things. And I think our innate thought in a lot of that is someone should do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Someone should do something. So the reminder of a curriculum that really called me out, called our students out, and I hope it pushes us forward, is you are someone. We are all someone. So the next time you say someone should do something about that, maybe replace someone with I. Like I should do
something. Oh yeah.
But you know, I understand that fault though, because if we feel inadequate, right, if we feel like we're not up to the task, then yeah, someone else should deal with that. Someone else who's more qualified, someone else who's got it all together. But yeah, I think maybe we need to realize that we are capable, especially when we're humble enough to accept the help of others and God's help, like Moses had to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah.
And you know, it's really encouraging to me, like, you know, I think we all have struggles with imposter syndrome. I think that's what it's called, where, you know, you feel like maybe you shouldn't mm-hmm. be the right. It always is encouraging to me to see smarter, wiser, grizzled people in ministry and in life that will be like, yeah, I have no idea either. You know, it's really like, I know this sounds crazy. It is encouraging for me to hear Curtis admit that he struggles with feeling inadequate sometimes. Okay, maybe that's a bit more normal. And Curtis shared, you know, a bit of his struggle with how to respond as a ministry leader in the middle of you know, last week's political turmoil. You know, ultimately, he led to the guidance of we need to put our hope and faith in Christ, mm-hmm. not in politics, a person, or anything else. But I'm just curious, you know, how did you feel during the turmoil last week? And how do you connect with that guidance from Curtis?
Oh, yeah. Last week was a lot. And I mean, I think turmoil is part of political territory, but I think what happened last Wednesday was different. You know, there was violence and insurrection, and it was horrible and shameful, and it was sinful in a lot of ways. You know, there were a lot of things, that I really struggled with seeing it come across the news, and it was absolutely heartbreaking, and especially with, you know, knowing how, like, watching the Confederate flag walk through the Capitol halls, like, that was a terrible thing to see, just because there's a lot of hatred that goes along with that. And our country has a sinful past when it comes to lynching, and a noose was put up outside the Capitol building. And then there was also a cross put up outside of the Capitol building. And I could go on a theological tangent about that. But Beth Moore tweeted something along the lines that the Jesus that I think they were worshiping when they put the cross up at the Capitol is not the Jesus in the Gospels. You know, and it's very easy to go down tangents and start assuming the intentions of some of these people. And I mean, the last that I heard, at least 5 people had died in this incident, including 2 Capitol Police officers. Mm. I know one was from physical injuries, but I believe the other one died by suicide over the weekend, just out of everything that had happened. And so that was terrible to watch and experience and feel helpless and confused and angry and every other emotion that comes along with grief in that, because, you know, this is a country that I love. but there's a lot of wisdom that Curtis had in putting our hope and faith in Jesus and not in anything else. You know, I think part of the reason that Jesus was crucified is that he didn't fit in with what the Jews were expecting for a Messiah. You know, he refused political power. You know, he was tempted in the desert and offered to become a, you know, powerful. And he said, no, he wasn't a military leader. He was poor, and he chose the poor and the weak and the marginalized over being comfortable and powerful. And he taught us that the kingdom of God is upside down from our own standards. Like, the kingdom of God is where the greatest become the least and the first become the last. And Jesus is our king with a capital K, but we can't make him in the image of our kings or, you know, our modern equivalent of political leaders. You know, we know when we go back to the Old Testament that when the Israelites kept asking for a king because everyone else had a king, God said, I am your king, but they kept asking. And we know that kings won't save us. There have been good kings and there have been bad kings, but eventually political systems and leaders can become corrupt. And we've seen that happen for centuries and centuries and centuries. So
yeah,
I could keep going, but no, it's a good place to stop there.
It's a tough topic. And, you know, and I think the church often sits in the middle of these moments and struggles with how we respond well. And, you know, and I think shining a light on Christ is a central answer to a lot, you know, let's not get caught up in this. Cause yeah, we have to be careful. And I think any of us who look at a person or a group or any one or man-made thing and think that is perfect, I will give my full allegiance to that, I would say that that is outright idolatry, sin. And I think we all have to be mindful of it. You know, Tyler McKenzie out of Louisville made a post that I thought was quite interesting. And I think it's probably a good gut check. It was for me and I think for others. He said, when I was a kid, I was warned about the dangers of Christian progressivism. I will warn my kids about the dangers of Christian nationalism. Hot fire for coming in. He's braver than me. I don't post much of anything ever because I would probably regret it or be like, oh, I wish I had phrased that. But I do think it is all something that, like, as Christians, we are not loyal to any party, any person, anything. We are loyal to Christ. We don't all have to agree on everything, but we should at least agree to be followers of Christ. And I think any form of violence is certainly not something that we can very comfortably connect with Christ, at least on my end.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's a theologian named Lisa Sharon Harper, and she makes me uncomfortable a lot because she often steps on my toes and makes me think about things in a way that don't come naturally to me. And I mean, she talks about political engagements for Christians being, how can I love my neighbor instead of how can I make a system work for me? And I think that goes back into, you know, not being the main character of the story. There's a lot of humility and sacrifice that go along with that.
Well, that's a great transition. Thank you so much, Olivia. Because my next question is this. Yeah, you know, the big gut punch, the big main idea of this last Sunday was that we are not the main character in our story, which is hard for all of us because, you know, the world revolves. We can only see from our perspective and our eyes and our brain and we're all the center of our own universe. But we need to remember that God is the main character of the story. We're all participating in God's story, not the other way around. So I'm curious, have you ever had trouble realizing that? Or do you have any advice on how to remember that regularly?
Yeah, the short answer is yes. I'm pretty selfish. You know, I'm not married, don't have kids. I love being able to do what I want when I want. And I love organizing and planning things just around convenience for myself. And so it's super easy for me to fall into the trap that I'm the main character because I am from my perspective. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't help that Western culture is individualistic and has trained us to value things by how much personal convenience it brings us. We also live in a culture that values hustle and productivity over being fully human, and that often leads us to running on empty. And so, kind of the how I was thinking about this is this question is good because it requires self-awareness and balance. Like it requires us to be aware enough to think outside of our own perspectives, and being able to put ourselves in the supporting actor role. Mm-hmm. But we also need the balance of if we don't rest and take care of ourselves, we're going to be too tired to be able to do anything. We're going to be too tired to be able to support other people be those supporting actors in God's main role.
I think that insight's so interesting. And I would even stretch that beyond being tired, right? Like I think, if we're angry and we're not processing and dealing with mm-hmm. that, it's going to be really difficult for us to love our neighbors and push God's story forward. If we're mm-hmm. if we're depressed or overwhelmed and we're not seeking the need, we're not regulating, we're not pursuing the right, then it's going to be very difficult for us to be participating in God's story. And I'm not even saying any of that is inherently, like, I'm not criticizing anyone. I'm saying that we have to have the self-awareness to recognize where we are. Because if the truth, if we grow more as people, if we can make sure that we're doing healthy, we can be better participators in that story, which might sound inherently selfish, but there's also a lot of value in it, right? If I'm telling you right now, I tried to work the week after my grandmother died. I was not very effective. because I needed time to process that and grieve and do what I needed to do. And I think a lot of us have to recognize where we are in moments, whether that's tired, angry, depressed, sad, frustrated, busy, overwhelmed, whatever version of that looks like. Sorry, I totally interrupted you. You were on a stream of thought, but I liked it and I wanted to emphasize it.
No, you're good. And I completely agree with you on that. And it takes a lot of, self-awareness and finding that balance is not a one-time ordeal. It's a lot of trial and error over and over again, and learning to be patient with yourself, and learning to be patient and wait your turn. And so for me, it's a balance of resting, especially in a season where I'm an extrovert and I'm not getting the face-to-face time with people that I'm used to, and that makes me that fills me up. So I have to be very intentional in how I take care of myself and how I rest and learn how to take a break. But then also I found, there are voices that I listen to that help reframe my perspective beyond myself. And when people share their stories instead of, instantly trying to prove them wrong or be the devil's advocate of just listening and saying like, this is, just because my experience is different doesn't make someone else's experience invalid.
I mean, the world is a lot bigger than us, and that goes for, just from a theological perspective, but also, yeah, just like a life experience thing, which is really important to think about. So here's my kind of last question before I just give you the floor or microphone for anything else you have to say. What do you think are the potential consequences of taking God out of the lead role in our lives?
That is a very, very big question. I think a simple way to put it is we would miss out on the whole point of it. We would miss out on, how many good things have you experienced, because you followed God into a place that you didn't know how it was gonna end up, or what God had for you in store there. You know, of if we make it about ourselves, that's a pretty unfulfilling life. It sounds like it'd be fulfilling to have something, you know, completely surrounding you, but when it that's not, I don't think that's enough to build a fulfilling life on. And I mean, there's so much that God has to teach us, and so much that we don't know and don't understand about God, just because we are human and God is God. And I mean, I just keep thinking on how much we would miss out on. I'm not sure if you have anything else to add on to the top of that.
Yeah, you know, I wish, I'm not going to do it justice, but Curtis shared an illustration that stuck with me, apparently not well enough to remember perfectly, but I'm going to butcher in a butchered way. He talks about the illustration of two drama students, one who writes their own play, casts it, there's stars in it, does, you know, it's all about them and it's in their garage. And then there's another one who just takes a minor role in a big production with very talented people. And he talks about who's accomplishing more and who's growing more, right? When it's all about us, when it revolves around us and we're, you know, that might seem like, man, this is a great big deal for me, but really you're actually missing out on something much bigger. And I think the growing aspect of that is pretty important to recognize too, when we're just so convinced that we know everything and everything we, our experiences, our tiny little experience is everything, then we're really missing out. But yeah, it's like the people that are willing to humbly take more minor roles and be a part of something bigger. Yeah. They're going to grow more. They're going to work with more talented people. They're going to, you know, let's leave the drama illustration, right? Like when we surround ourselves with smarter people and we challenge our thoughts, when we learn from other experiences, when we can realize that we're just a small piece in a huge puzzle. And our goal is to really try to understand everyone and who God is and where we are in this big thing, man, it's like, that's beautiful and it's better and it's more whole. Like you were saying, you know, there's all those studies out there that show you that you can pursue all your own happiness methods. But there's very little genuine fulfillment in a life centered around yourself. It just is.
And I mean, we weren't created to be alone, but you know, rather in community. And there's a lot of patience and humility and waiting your turn or giving up your turn or, you know, passing the spotlight to someone else, for the benefit of the whole group.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I know I don't know if that was it, but I just want to give you one last chance before we kind of wrap things up here. Do you have any kind of parting wisdom or advice or anything that stuck out to you that you'd like to share before we wrap this up?
I mean, I think going to a minor role and following Moses's example can be intimidating. You know, playing a minor role in God's big story can lead us into places that we never thought we would end up, and it might put us in places that challenge us or stretch us or are hard, but that doesn't invalidate that it's worth. I mean, I don't know about you, but I would rather, like going back to the illustration that you just shared from Curtis's sermon, I would much rather play a minor role in a big production that challenges me and causes me to grow and think outside the box and think outside of my own perspective, than be one that is pretty lonely and all about myself.
Yeah. I mean, if your excuse is inadequacy, that's ruined by the story of Moses. If your excuse is that you want to be the star, I'm just saying, for someone who chose to be a minor role in God's story, his star still shone pretty dang bright, more than most people who live a life all about themselves, which is probably worth acknowledging. Not that that's a valuable thing to pursue. I'm just saying, it's worth acknowledging. So thank you, Olivia, for the conversation here. And thank you to all of you joining us this week. I'd like to remind you that if you're on iTunes and don't mind, please give us a 5-star rating and maybe a review. And if you want to keep up with all of Crossroads activities and find more content, we're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. You can find us by searching Crossroads Christian. There are all kinds of content for adults, kids, and teenagers in those platforms. But more than all of that, please make the most of the rest of your 167 hours.
Have a great week.